Thank you, Sue. I've got some very brief legal questions. Essentially, the submissions are presented on behalf of Darrell Sampson and Lawyers Cooper, who are submitters 495, in respect of this hearing stream. They are the owners of the land at 182 Lee Arthur's Point Road, Queenstown. And the site has split zoning, part zoned rural visitor, which is not subject to stage one of the review, part zoned rural general, which is. And for the purposes of these submissions, I refer to the land included in stage one of the review proposed to be zoned rural as site. These submissions set out the following: an overview of the relief, consideration of the remaining issue between the submitters and the council's planner, and an assessment of scope considerations in relation to the relief sought by the submitters. Overview: the site is currently outside the urban growth boundary and it's subject to the ONL classification. The submitter's preference is to have the site zoned rural visitor. They also seek that the site be located within the urban growth boundary and the ONL classification follows the boundary of the site. In the event the panel finds itself unwilling or unable or unwilling to recommend in favour of the original relief sought, the submitter's request the site be zoned medium density residential. Expert evidence is provided by Mr. Vivian and Mr. Yesby. The council's planning, landscape, transport, ecology and infrastructure experts do not oppose the proposed rezoning of the site per se. The main area of difference between the council and the submitters is the process by which the site is rezoned. The council's planner, Ms. Devlin, takes the view that any such rezoning would need to be notified through a variation in stage two of the PDP or any subsequent stage when those provisions or any replacement thereof are notified. The submitter finds themselves in the unfortunate situation of being in a no man's land as a result of the staged review process that's been adopted by the council. There's also a degree of unfairness and prejudice which arises from that staged process, particularly where the more or most appropriate zone for the site is not part of stage one of the review. Because the site has been included in stage one, the submitters must take part in the process to rezone the land or otherwise risk the land retaining the rural zoning and thereafter falling through the cracks, so to speak. And I go so far as to say it's really a bit of a Clayton submission in some respects. The submitters have raised an issue as to the appropriate rezoning of their land, but they're not necessarily going to be able to achieve the optimum planning outcome out of this process. As I indicated earlier, the submitter's preferred outcome is for the site to be zoned rural visitor, consistent with the balance of their property. Mr. Vivian's evidence is to the effect that the rural visitor zone provisions do give effect to the higher order PDP provisions and can thus sit under that framework. It's accepted, however, that the operative provisions, or an iteration of them, would have to be transplanted into the PDP and be able to stand independently of any operative rules that may or may not survive a subsequent stage of the review. To this end, there may be a question of efficiency or even utility in including this zone in PDP, depending on the area or extent of land which it may have application. And by that I mean the submitter's site, the subject of stage one, it has an area of 1.46 hectares. So to have a whole zone applying to that small area of land might feel a bit inefficient, but on the other hand, I am aware that there are other submitters seeking the rural visitor zoning over other land subject to stage one. So subject to your decisions on that, remains an issue, I suppose, that I flag. We can see, as I say, the efficiency or utility of having a zone just for this parcel of land, but there may be a bigger picture issue to consider as well. The only other realistic route for any type of rural visitor zone to occur is in a subsequent stage, and on the likely proviso, a variation would be initiated at the same time to revisit the site zoning. And I say the likely scenario of a variation because it's likely that stage one probably won't be operative by the time we get around, hopefully, to revisiting the rural visitor zone, but we could live in hope. Understandably, the submitter is reluctant to place all of its eggs in one basket and rely on the recommendation of the reporting planner, and with respect, this panel. Therefore, a two-pronged approach is suggested as the appropriate way forward. And the first, and this is again on the proviso that we don't end up with a rural visitor's zone on the plan that can apply to this land, is that the panel make a recommendation consistent with the substance of the evidence before it that the site be included in a subsequent stage of the review, addressing the rural visitor zone at Arthur's Point, and also noting the variation may be required if stage one isn't yet operative. And in the interim, a PDP appropriate zone is applied to the site. What is that zone? Mr. Vivian will give evidence that a medium density residential zone is appropriate for this site. From a jurisdictional standpoint, it's open to the panel to recommend that zoning as the relief sought is within the scope of the original submission, and the effects of the development under that zoning will certainly, in my submission, be no greater than those that could arise under the rural visitor zoning. And Mr. Vivian addresses this in some further detail. Just turning to development restrictions and the terrace area, during questioning of Ms. Devlin by the panel, an issue was raised with respect to the split zoning of the site, urban and rural versus whole site being zoned urban, with a building restriction overlay over the escarpment face. I understand the hearing panel's concern with this split zoning was the effect of the definition of site in the PDP when applied in this case, and the definition of site provides that where any site is crossed by a zone boundary when deemed to be two or more sites. A better outcome would appear to be to zone the entire site urban with the imposition of a no-build zone in respect of the terrace. This proposal is consistent with the relief that was originally sought in the submission, which requested the site in total be rezoned to rural visitor with the removal of the OML classification. So there's no scope issue that will arise in respect of that outcome. So those are my submissions. I'm happy to answer any questions before I call my witnesses.
More of a comment than a question. The latest information I have on the staging suggests that stage two is not within the rural visitor zone.
Yes, I expect that, yes.
And it may not be until, just looking at the subsequent stages, the end of next year or early 2019. So your suggestion of an interim PDP zone, I think it has
some merit.
One of the questions that's been troubling us about Arthur's Point in total, and your client's land is affected in the same way, is that it seems that the outstanding natural landscape classification applies to the entirety of Arthur's Point, not just the rural zone. There's an urban growth boundary, but there's no edge to the outstanding natural landscape.
That's peculiar, to say the least. I don't know why, because what's the situation with the operative zoning isn't to be the, just trying to remember your memo on mapping notations, etc. I suppose we've got the operative plan which says something, and then the proposed plan which says something else, and I'm not too sure what operative plan, where the line goes in respect of the operative plan around Arthur's Point.
There isn't one.
Oh, I see, that's what you're saying, there isn't one at all.
There wasn't a ONL boundary in the operative plan either. You think there might have been a whoopsie?
Yes, well, certainly it was clear from those early landscape decisions, at least anyway, that the ONL wasn't to apply to urban zones. So that's my recollection of the court decisions around the time that the landscape line came to be.
Thank you.
Ministers. I was going to read out my summary statement. Obviously, my pre-circulated evidence, as in previous cases, contains visual appendices and maps and things, so it might be good to refer to those if need be, but I'll go through my summary in any event, you can direct me as you wish. Starting at paragraph 3, in summary, it is agreed by Dr. Reed and myself that rezoning all of the subject site except the steep escarpment to allow for urban development is appropriate in relation to landscape character and visual effects. In response to this, the submitter has amended the relief that is sought such that rezoning is no longer proposed under the escarpment part of the subject site, as per appendix 1 of my evidence in the chief. I agree that this relief is appropriate, however, in my opinion, the same could be achieved by rezoning all of the subject site by placing a building restriction area over the part of the site that is the steep escarpment. And then that is set out graphically in appendix 1 of my evidence in chief. The existing landscape character of the vicinity of Arthur's Point Rural Visitor Zone is made up of the wild, undeveloped and steep-sided shot of a gorge, the dense visitor commercial residential development on the operative Rural Visitor Zone area of the flat terrace landform, and also spilling over onto the upper escarpment face in some locations, and rural pasture land extending out to the east to meet Littles Road, and beyond. The southern and eastern boundaries of the operative rural visitor zone have been drawn in a way that it does not accurately relate to landform or land use patterns. In my opinion, rural visitor zone activities or other urban activities, such as those provided for by proposed district plans, low or medium density residential zones, over the subject site would not lead to a degradation of existing landscape character. Additionally, I support maintaining the escarpment part of the site in an unbuilt state. This is a part of the site that is sensitive in terms of landscape character and is a part of the value of pioneer. A number of observer groups will have the ability to see activities enabled by the proposed situation. In all instances, these activities will appear as a particularly minor and visually logical extension to the activities that are already enabled by the operative situation. I consider that visual effects will be slight at worst. The submitter's amended relief, or one that rezones all of the site but with a building restriction area over the escarpment, accords with my findings as summarised above and also accords with the findings of Dr. Reed.
No, I'm just checking your evidence in chief.
We did visit the site.
Perhaps you could help us on your appendix 1. You have a dotted yellow line.
Yes.
Is that your view of where the area ends?
Yes. Which is also the lip of the escarpment.
Was Dr. Reed agreeing with the entire length of that yellow line or just the part for the site? Do you know?
Well, I think as far as
the principle of how it's applied, I think she brings it.
Yeah, I think that's the first point. As far as the lines across as this site goes, I think she agrees. Beyond that, I can't be sure whether she agrees with the detail of the yellow line.
We have the advantage that we haven't heard from Dr. Reed yet, so we can ask her to write it.
Primarily about process rather than merit. or if the council witnesses agree, provided the steep escarpment faces particularly in some form, then the property is suitable for the eminent development. In my evidence in chief, I conclude that the subject site is a logical extension to the existing urban area, and this has been agreed by Dr. Green, Mr. Esky, and Ms. Deacon. I also conclude that an even development within this location is, in my opinion, consistent with the strategic directions of difference of policy. I also conclude that the requested or visit time or the like, iterations of difference in policies of the strategic direction section than the rural zone. I also conclude in my evidence in chief that the requested rural visitor zone can absorb additional development without increasing the affecting ONF phase of the Shotover River. The requested rural visitor zone is, in my opinion, a logical extension to the operative rural visitor zone and can be fully reticulated to council services. Accordingly, I recommend in my evidence in chief that the subject submission should be accepted as part of stage one to the extent that urban zoning generally is appropriate for the entire site, excluding the steep terrace base as requested, and subject to a separate native process to determine whether the subject, whether status quo rural visitor zone remains or a different zone is more appropriate. Ms. Devlin, in her rebuttal evidence, agrees that the evidence demonstrates that the rural zone portion of the site can accommodate urban development. Ms. Devlin also agrees that the requested zoning is a logical extension to the type of development currently in existence in the operative rural visitor zone will not adversely affect only the values of the child and the fully service. However, Ms. Devlin recommends that the rural zoning portion of the site be notified through a variation in stage two of the PDP. With respect, there are strategic type decisions the hearings panel needs to make now in relation to the submission. This includes whether the property falls outside the ONL or ONF should be included within the Harvey's Point urban growth boundary. The evidence before the hearings panel is used to answer these questions. Given those circumstances, I consider the hearings panel should consider zoning the subject site in an alternative urban zone, such as medium density or low density residential zone. Then, when the balance of the site is notified as part of the future stage of the PDP, the council can choose at that time whether or not the subject site in that zone is in that zone as a variation or a plan change depending on time. I've compared the medium, low density and operative rural visitor zone provisions in section 75. I conclude that the medium and low density residential zones both enable lesser development rights than the operative rural visitor zone. As such, I consider approving the low density or medium density instead of rural visitor zone in the scope of the submission. My preference is for a medium density residential zone for the reason that such zoning would be more compatible with the development intensity and scale enabled by the rural visitor zone at Arthur's Point, which is fully serviced unlike many other rural visitor zones throughout the district. By way of example, I attach development plans for a neighbouring property which includes a 166-room hotel, day spa, 102 service departments, and 153 car parks. This development is indicative of the intensity and scale of development that could be realised within the rural visitor zone on the adjoining land and currently on the subject site. I understand resource consent for this development was lodged on Monday this week. CB5 is my comparison between low-density and medium-density and rural visitor zones. The only major issue with respect to the rural visitor zones is the setbacks, which is under KEPA standards. In the low density and medium density residential zones, setbacks are far less than what is permitted in the rural visitor zone. But in all other respects, the rural visitor zone CD6, that's just those adjoining property development plans. So this is when we did your site visit, you would have driven into the site past a barn which is used for shared office accommodation, and then down into the subject site. So these plans sit right up adjacent to Harvest Point Road. Hotel development, what is a day spa, and I also see there's a conference centre there as well. And then as you go towards the subject site, there's a number of service apartments. It's just a few things showing what the development is being provided for.
I'm just checking. Only it was frozen, someone said. I'm just trying to locate that adjoining site on the planning map.
Yeah, it is quite hard to work out there.
What am I doing this one?
That one. I've got a frozen site on the road. So that site itself is got a bit lower.
Pardon?
So that adjoining site is also
split. Yes. Yes, it is. Yes. If you look at the boundary between that site and the Cooper Sampson site, sort of two-thirds of it is rural zone, rural visitor zone, and then there's a little wedge of rural zoning.
And it's in about three blocks according to the planning map.
Yeah, it does seem to look like it is, yes.
Is the medium density residential zoning, I understand the process reason for doing it. How well does it stack up in terms of the strategic framework of the plan? It looks like an orphan.
Yeah, it does.
I understand. Yeah. Why?
Yeah, for that reason, you know, we whatever zoning replaces this rural visitor zone, or if it's going to remain rural visitor zone, logically that would extend it into the subject site still. But until we know what that zoning is, it pretty much is more from until that time.
I need the process clarified a little bit for me. If whatever zoning we leave you with, and then the council comes along and revisits the rural visitor zone, you're saying you don't have the ability to lodge a submission requesting that you get that zoning over the whole of the site. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Potentially not. It depends on, obviously, on the extent of it. Well, for a start, let's just assume for a moment that stage one is an operative, so they can't. That piece of land would have to be specifically identified as a variation to stage one, and then the operative rural visitor zone could be subject to a change because it's operative, not in its proposed state. So.
You don't think there'd be scope if the council was then introducing a new form of zoning at stage three or whatever, that you can lodge a Me Too submission?
Especially given it's the same site.
Well, if it's right next door to the land that's subject to the change, one would hope that there would be scope to address the land right next door, given the particular
wasn't that the High Court's ruling that proposed the Murph case? I think wasn't that the situation there where it accepted that there was scope to include the adjoining part of the same property.
Yeah, it's a matter of degree, isn't it, really, as to how proximate the land is to the area that's subject to the change. And I think the closer it is, the easier your chances to argue that the scope to the submission and that's going to be on the change.
Well, isn't it a reality that no matter what we recommend on this piece, which is in the stage one, that opportunity arises when the council finally does get round to putting a zoning on the remainder of the site?
I'm not sure actually technically what happens though when, that might be all very well if you, the whole thing's operative, you know, for starting with. But when you've got a parcel of land such as the site that's subject to stage one, and
mind you, if your clients don't appeal it, it'll be effective.
Of our clients don't, well, maybe as part of.
There's no one else that the council will appeal it, but he likes to appeal it as far as I can tell.
Yes, so it could be made operative in regards to potentially finding them to be for that particular site. There's just lots of uncertainties lying ahead for the submission.
I'm just thinking out loud. Yes. On the other hand, if your client did appeal the decision and deferred the court dealing with it until they dealt with the rest of the site, that would provide you the same.
Whether the court would entertain that as an option in terms of how long waiting to deal with the rural visitor's own, I don't know. But yes, that's an option as well, and potentially might be quite a sensible one given unusual circumstances.
Yes, I mean, we've certainly raised this problem with Scott, and we will be asking him to address it in particular further in the reply submissions. But it's, it is a conundrum that was created by this idea of a state plan.
It's not the only one.
Creating split zones.
Yes, yes.
It's just the notion that, well, perhaps you've already answered it, but if we give you the requested alternative relief now, really, you, well, it might actually count against you at stage three if you.
What would count against?
Well, the fact that it's no longer, the property's no longer in the rural visitor zone. Which might make it difficult for you to argue for that, or whatever replaces it.
Well,
unless that stage three process includes a mapping component. But if it doesn't include a mapping component, you might. There'd be an argument, well, you're medium density residential zone now, you're not part of this process.
Yes, well, that comes back to that scope matter, doesn't it? For as to whether we can, notwithstanding that we might be outside of the bounds of the proposed change, that we would have scope to the lodge submission request and that we'd be included within it.
Mr. Chair, I have a follow-up. So a follow-up question. What if a split zone remained part rural visitor and part medium density? Because when you think about the effects of development under both of those zones, medium density gets lesser effect. So that would, I mean, the split zoning doesn't matter as much, does it? As it would do if it was rural versus, say, rural visitor.
I don't think so.
I'm just about ticking.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it doesn't look sweet on a plan, but.
Certainly, if by going from rural to medium density, for example, you're putting aside the issues to do with the RL and the road number. So, 203.
Yes,
and
it leaves an anomaly that ought to be fixed.
And there's nothing to say that the rural visitor zone would be identified in its present state.
No, there's not, and we still don't have visitor accommodation slotted into the residential zones either, so there's the ability for to change as well, in terms of providing for some additional development.
Mr. Vivian, have you considered your suggestion of a medium density zone? I'm looking at the rural portion of it now.
Yes.
Have you considered whether there'd be any adverse effects on the adjoining rural level?
Well, that's certainly. In terms of directly to the north, there's that little wedge of rural, and that is part of the site which is larger. But ideally,
there's a similar submission on the adjoining site to the west.
To the west. Okay.
Well, so this one with a little wedge, this
one. Yeah. 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 You know, I think if you looked at that rural visitor zone and total that whole area to the east of the boundary of district, as it's called. Those boundaries were, they were first a T2 zone under the, I think it was 1977 plan, and then in 1995 the T2 zone was changed to the rural visitor, and then obviously through this process those boundaries have remained exactly the same, but I would have thought that there was scope to extend that rural visitor zone or whatever that zone is going to be further to the east, including my client's name. So yeah, it is a bit, that boundary is quite historic and could possibly be. It would have been good if they had looked at it as part of the proposed.
But given it's not being looked at, it would be unusual to have medium density zone butting up against the rural zone, wouldn't it?
Not unusual, no. If you look at the planning map for Arthur's Point, for example, it does that further to the east, right around.
That's all
low. I haven't considered.
It's just the compound, though. Why is it within an hour there?
Yeah, I haven't. I can't think of any medium density zones that do join a rural zone.
Properties to the east of you, what are they at the moment?
Have you got Mr. Espy's appendix 1?
Yep.
I've got numbers on them, sorry, the first place.
Mr. Espy's.
So
effectively rural residential?
Yeah, they're essentially rural residential. I can't recall if there's any commercial activities in there.
They're all residences.
Yeah.
Are they at a similar level?
Elevation wise?
Yeah.
200 is.
Yes, the one number 200 is in it, right? It rises to the north.
Mm-hmm. That belt of trees is probably in the establishment.
Yes. Not as steep as the Shadow of the Gorge escarpment,
no.
Rolls to the north.
Yes.
All of those, yes, the numbered ones there, 146, 182C and 200,
those are residences. You can see a rolling driveway that curls around to number 200.
Yeah.
In my evidence, I was considering, you know, I wasn't asked to look at it, but looking at the big picture, really, we've got the Littles Road Basin to the west, which is a glacially evacuated, very legible basin, which rolls up, and that driveway has been formed almost at the edge of that. So I was suggesting that driveway is, looking at it as an initial look, that driveway looks like quite a good line as far as the zone edge goes. But that's as far as I've talked about.
Okay, thank you.
Chapter and strategic directions chapter, objectives and policies are relevant and applicable in all zones where landscape values are at issue. That assists in effect to any extent, but certainly in terms of the PDP, they've thought about the application of the categories to anything other than the rural zone.
Lake Street one, I'm just not sure we're wrong, so I'll give a call and see where he's at.
Hi, Mark, how you doing? Just text him to ask if he wants to continue or if he wants to wait. I'm just not exactly sure where he is. He's traveling.
Okay. So. Well, maybe the answer is we could take the lunch in the gym.
That sounds like a good
plan. And we convene, say, at 1:30. That would give him enough time to get here, wouldn't it?
I imagine so. I'm not sure where he's traveling from. So. Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
that sounds like a great plan. Thank you.
You